Tuesday Takeover with Paul Mellor on FUBAR Radio.
Fuck, hello. How's it going?
How did we end up here?
Yeah. Well, I got a glass of red, that's cool. I'm Paul Mellor. We're on the radio. I don't really know what to say.
Yeah, you do.
So, this is the Troublemakers show. I've got my sidekick, Sam Candy, with me.
Troublemaker. Original Troublemaker.
Original, yeah. So, the Troublemakers. Why have we got a Troublemakers show? We need more Rock the Boaters. We need more Noise Cutters. Less Wallflowers, less Fence Sitters, more Soapboxers, more Deep End Divers, less Play It Safers, less Yes Sir, Three Bags Full Sir, more Sticking Out the Necks, more Trusters of the Guts, less Brown Noses, less Devil Advocators. That is the we, the royal we, are drowning. Drowning in a royal a royal in a sea of sameness, in a world where conformity is celebrated, a world where getting more boring, the world is getting more boring and more serious by the day, a world that's often dull as shit, a world where people daren't risk anything, where fear rules the hearts. So what are we? We are here to celebrate troublemaking. We're here to celebrate mischief makers, rabble rousers, noise makers, go against the grainers. Getting under the hood of creativity and mischief makers. Silly, light entertainment. I've got my sidekick, Sam Candy. Say hello.
Hello, everybody. I'm
here to cause trouble. So, who the fuck am I? I'm Paul Mellor. I run an agency, an ad agency called Mellor & Smith. I started a talk show, not on the radio, an event series called Take Fucking Risks. And that got me here because I got off the stage and then FUBAR said, how about it? So that's why we're here. And then Sam, who are you? Sam, who are you?
I am Sam Candy. I think that's the thing. I am Sam Candy. I have a normal job, but I don't really talk about that at the moment here. And
she's skiving.
No, don't say that. And I also am a founder of an organisation that supports parity in the travel industry. I work in technology, but don't know anything about technology. I'm Trouble. People always, every time someone meets me, they always go, oh, hello, Trouble. Yeah. And I'm like, why? I don't have that look on my face until someone's spoken to me for about 10 minutes.
It's like written on your forehead.
Yeah, I think that happened when I met you. Like, I was like, oh, here comes Trouble. And he was like, oh, here comes Trouble. But yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. So for anybody that doesn't know, so come on, tell me two things about you, two, three things about your trouble. Come on, your troublemaking past.
Okay.
Your history.
My history. So I don't even know how many people that I know really well that are probably listening.
There's only three people
know
listening.
This about this, yeah. Me. But when I was 15 years old, I got asked to leave school because they just were like, you're wasting our time and we're wasting yours. And I was like, okay, see, I'm off to find a job, which I just thought was brilliant, and earn some money. And then when I was about 17, I had this really, really cool job at a company back then that was called Telerate, but now I think it's like Dow Jones. So really, really serious job in the accounts department. And I went on holiday with all the blokes that I worked with, and I never came home. And I was just like, hang on a second, I just don't want to, I'm 17 years old and I just wanted to have a crazy, crazy laugh. And then at the end of the summer, I had to come home because Greece shuts at the end of the summer. And my dad said, what do you want to do now? And I was like, I just don't want to be here. And he gave me 50 quid and booked me a flight to Tenerife. And I stayed there for 4 years.
Yeah. Didn't even go home?
No.
Yeah.
Literally. Well, no, I went home after Greece and then I was like, right, I need to go somewhere. I think I was home for about a week, causing trouble. And then both my mum and dad were like, you need to get the hell out of here now. And then, I went abroad and caused a lot of trouble. But I don't remember any of it because I was drunk the whole time.
Yeah. Well, no, because we were talking about this in the pub just now. We've come from the pub.
Well, which we spend most of our time. Yeah,
I had three gorgeous pints of Guinness. It was lovely. Nice to, you know, just settles in. You know, yeah. It's good for the coronavirus as well.
Apparently.
Because if you drink Guinness, then you can't catch coronavirus.
I think we should see how many times we say the word coronavirus. That was eight. Yeah. Seven, six. I don't know, can't count.
So, what are we going to do? You can text in. Can you text in? Can they text in? No. No, they can email in. Huh. You, the three people that are listening, they can email in takeover@fubarradio.com. That's FUBAR. takeover@fubarradio.com. I'm expecting an avalanche of emails, people emailing in. And then what can they do? They can, so all of the socials, so if you want to tweet us, Instagram us, Facebook us, do people do that now? At FUBAR Radio. And where can they find, Sam, go on, this is your moment to like add two or three people to your Instagram list. Who have you got? So what's your handle on Instagram?
Oh, at Sam Candy.
Yeah, there
what
we go.
With the name like that, what else would you call yourself?
We're bland as Sam Candy. With a name like that. Yeah.
Oh, no, you're going to change my name.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. The fabulous Sam Candy. And mine is at Mr. Paul Mellor.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I should be referred to by my title. Because Lord. I have to say though, I have actually chosen a banging bottle of red for our red in the radio.
And then I told him that I would drink a €2.99.
Yeah, now this is proper. This is Santimillion. This is proper. It's decent gear.
As long as it tastes right.
Yeah, well, because I live in France now, and so that means that I'm cultured.
Yeah. So what's your like trouble thing that?
So I split my time between London and France. So I live in Annecy in France in the Alps, and that means I drink wine.
All day, every day.
Yeah. And ski, that is it. And then basically blag a living. What it means is I can talk about wine and only sound like a dick most of the time. Because it's almost impossible to talk about wine without sounding like a dick.
Okay, so what's the biggest thing that you know about wine?
What's the biggest thing I know about wine? What's the biggest dick you know in wine? What's the biggest thing I know about wine?
Nothing, exactly.
No, not a great deal. No, like, I mean,
it gets you drunk.
Yeah, like, this has got some lovely, some apricots on the nose and some blueberries. What's that? Really? Raspberries, you know, a bit of blackcurrant. It's nice, isn't it?
I don't really tell. I think after you've had like three, you can't really tell the taste of it.
That's true.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. So bit it's of light a fluid.
So those people that buy like £60,000 bottles of wine, yeah. Right?
You
what?
Dick.
Why? Especially like, once you pour the first glass.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Waste of money. There might we as well go. Pour it down the toilet.
Might as well pour it down the toilet, yeah.
What's the most expensive bottle of wine you've ever bought?
Oh, fuck.
Or champagne.
Or champagne. I don't know, a few hundred quid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know, like five, maybe, I reckon I probably bought like a four or 500 quid bottle of champagne, maybe before. When you try to impress clients, it's always because I do a lot of client entertainment.
I want to be a client. Actually, I think.
But it tastes
like
£6.99
wine.
I know, like, a 50 quid bottle of wine tastes the same as a 500 quid bottle of wine, I think. Like, once you get to pretty good, like, the difference is almost nothing.
I always, like, go to the shelf and get the cheapest bottle because I know that that's going to be the best one. It's the cheaper it is. Wait,
is it next to the lighter fluid?
No, it's next to the counter, the one that's on offer.
It's on offer, yeah.
£5.99.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's good, though, isn't it?
So you drink wine. What else are you doing?
What else do I do in
Annecy,
France?
Lake Annecy.
It's all right. Annecy's all right. What do I do there? Shout at my kids because they drive me up the wall. That's about it, really.
I think everyone shouts at their kids. That's why I didn't have kids.
Ski.
Jealous.
Yeah, it's about it. It's pretty good.
It's a nice life. And then you come back to London and pretend to do some work.
Yeah, for 2 days a week.
Yeah.
It's like, nice. I come on a Monday. Monday, because that's, if you go to the pub on a Monday, it's professional drinkers, isn't it? It's people that are there that are doing it professionally.
Do you think you're an alcoholic?
Whereas Friday, it's just amateurs, people that do it once a week. You know, they're not professionals.
I'm trying to not drink from Monday to Thursday.
My New Year's resolution was to not have any daytime drinking. I thought that was probably a good start. And
doesn't 4 o'clock count?
Anyway, why don't we stop talking about drinking? We were never going to talk about drinking.
Okay.
We were going to. So, who's on the show?
Oh, yeah.
We got guests and everything.
Oh, professional.
So we have got four guests.
Four.
And actually, one of them sat just left of me right now, really quietly.
Laughing at us.
Yeah, laughing at us, talking shit to each other. So we've got four guests. So shortly, what time are we on now? In a few minutes, no doubt. We've got Natalie
Musafia.
That's Nabe. A proper name, isn't it? That's a mouthful. Anyway, Natalie is a health and wellness coach who specializes in getting her clients to take risks. She's a life coach. She's fucking slap you in the face, make your life better, fucking do something with your life kind of person. She's amazing. I met her just recently, and she's
a hugger.
She's a hugger, yeah.
So sorry, yeah.
Coronavirus, whatever, it doesn't matter.
She's a hugger if you see her. She's going to hug you.
So we've got Natalie on, and then we've got Mark Denton on, who is the author of Unleash the Power of Puerility, the creative director of COY Communications, an absolute fucking badass in the advertising industry. I've been lucky enough to hear him speak a couple of times, and we work in the same industry, do a very similar job, although he does it much better than me. He's written and art directed and produced some of the most famous ads that have run in the UK over the last sort of 30 years. He did loads of, I don't want to steal his thunder. He did loads of Nike ads.
He's cool then.
So he did cool. You will remember it, he did the Michael Jordan for Nike, where he was doing a slam dunk, and it was Michael Jordan 1, Isaac Newton 0. And it was like the, that was like, fuck.
That's like
it was
really
everywhere.
Cool. Okay.
It was everywhere.
So he's cool.
And then we've got Dan Kelsall. Again, a friend. I appear to have just invited my friends on the show. good friend of mine. He is the founder of Offended Marketing, and he's the author of the best-selling book "Fucking Good Content." Essentially, Dan writes the shit out of LinkedIn, and has thousands and thousands of people that hang on his every word. We did actually manage to the graphics that we produced for the show misspelled his surname. So, he took it gracefully, and didn't make a big deal out of it. But, he's a good lad.
We'll ask him about that.
Yeah. I don't think he took it gracefully. and then at the very end of the show, we've got another friend of mine, Cindy Gallup. So Cindy is an absolute fucking whirlwind. She is the Michael Bay of business. She ran a couple of advertising agencies. And then when she left there, this was maybe like 10 years ago, she set up a business called If We Ran the World, which is a business or a platform to showcase equality within the workplace essentially like getting more women into leadership positions. Then she set up Make Love Not Porn, which I think is makelovenotporn.com. Maybe it's .tv, .tv, I think. And that is obviously places like Pornhub is... not cool. It's where it's sort of it says that it says people have been emailing already. I've just been told. Anyway, let's finish what Cindy's about. So she started Make Love Not Porn, which is a website to show people, like real people having sex, and rather than sort of porn people having sex. And she's fucking brilliant. And she's spoken at one of my events before, and she's a whirlwind. She's amazing.
Cool. Looking forward. Shall I read you the
emails that have come in?
Hi, Paul.
Yeah.
Can you please tell me what you prefer, English banter at the pub or French wine and cheese? Just don't forget.
That's from Tori.
Just been at the
so
pub.
I had lunch with Tori, 2 weeks ago. She's also a fellow Brit that lives in Annecy. Where the fuck do I live? Annecy, yeah. I didn't know she would be listening.
We're international. We're global.
International. What do I prefer, English banter in a pub or French wine and cheese? Banter, always. In the pub. In the pub, come on. There's nothing better than
an
English.
Are there pubs in France, in Annecy?
Only like Irish.
Or wine bars.
There's like, like the classic Irish pub.
What, pretend ones?
Yeah, it's not the same.
They sell Guinness?
I should hope so. I don't think I've ever been in. No, English pub, always.
Good.
But then French wine and cheese, it's not bad, is it?
Okay, yeah. Next one.
And what's the other one?
Paul, I've seen your skiing and it would look a lot better if everyone else was drinking wine. Angus.
Fuck off, Angus.
I take it you're a shit skier then.
Whoa.
Do you ever
ski? That's a massive slant.
Aren't you like more, what is it called? After skiing, après ski.
Après ski.
More après ski than ski.
I do love a bit of après ski.
Can you believe that they named a yogurt after like a after drinking ski situation? That doesn't make sense.
Did they?
Après ski. Don't you remember?
Is that a yogurt?
Isn't it? That little après ski yogurt thing.
No, I think there was a yogurt called ski, wasn't there? But I don't think it was called après ski.
I thought it was called après ski.
On that bombshell,
yeah.
Maybe we should play a song.
Hey.
Hey, who have we got? Who the fuck? Bruce Springsteen? I'm on fire. What number is he? Number two.
Are you?
Number two. The boss.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go and leave you all alone? I got a bad desire. Oh, I'm on fire. Tell me now, baby, is he good to you? And can he do to you the things that I do? Oh, no, I can take you high. Like someone took a knife, baby, edgy and dull, and cut a six-inch valley through the middle of my skull. At night I wake up with the sheets soaking wet and a freight train running through the middle of my head. Only you can cool my desire. Ooh, I'm on fire.
That's a bit shorter than I thought it was.
I didn't even have a wee.
Yeah, I didn't go for a wee. I was promised a wee within 20 minutes of the start.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Anyway, Sam, who've we got? Who's our first guest? Come on, tell me.
Right.
Tell me.
So this person changed my life. Who is sitting right next to me? Natalie Musafia, Namu, Nat, Hugger. Just absolutely amazing. For me, I was looking for someone to change my life, and she did. I see her as a happiness coach, but she's gonna tell you her story because it's a bloody, bloody great story, and she can change everyone's life, I believe. Bit out of the box and definitely, definitely a troublemaker. Nat,
hello.
Tell everyone your story.
Oh, hello, Paul.
Hello!
My story, right, so I conformed until I was 40. Right, you know, did everything, got married, went to university, got a good job, earned loads of money, got married, had three kids. And then at 40, I was like, sugar. I don't swear, by the way. So it'll be sugar. I'm in the wrong life. Yeah, this isn't my life. I wasn't meant to do this. And, I ended up having an affair, which was morally wrong, but I felt like I needed to do something morally wrong because I was so perfect. So I did that, and then I thought, oh, I need to get divorced. I did not to be with the person I was with, just because I realised I needed to be free. So I got divorced. My husband was not happy and wanted me to die, really, and proceeded to do everything he could to make me want to die, including getting me arrested. So like, I went from a mum of three, you know, doing the school run with a little buggy, to being in Harlow police cell for 9 hours.
Yeah.
Just because I wanted to change, I come out of my story. Like, you're not allowed to do that. Everyone was trying to keep me married and pull like the crabs in the bucket. They're pulling you down, going, no, that's what happens when you're married. You just have a separate life. Don't worry about it. I was thinking, no, something my gut's telling me I've got to get out.
Lad.
And, yeah, so I pushed for, I went back at one point during the divorce because it was so horrible. I was like, no, I'll just be a mum. I said to him, you can do what you want. I'm just going to be a mum. And then I got brave. Yeah, hit the rock bottom. And then thought, sugar, no one's coming to save me. I was waiting for someone to come and save me. And they don't. No one comes. So I said, right, I've got to save myself. Get up. Anything he does, just hop over it. I could understand why I don't. This is the thing. There's no hate. There's not. I understand his point of view. I understand. I love everyone. I do not think anyone's bad. What they do or revenge, they can do what they want, but it doesn't help. So, yeah, hit rock bottom, come out, love everyone, hug everyone, jump over obstacles. And, yeah, he did. In the court, I went on my own, representing myself a lot. He come with, you know, solicitor, barrister, whatever, fighting. I was like, no, you can have the kids half the time. He wanted the kids half the time. I was a full-time mum. Have them.
Bye.
He obviously don't know what it's like. So everything he did and kept, he didn't want to show any earnings. I get that, men do that. He didn't want to show his business. So he's ended up basically with everything, his big house, his business intact, which I'm happy about, and I live on a boat. I rented a big house for a few years just because I was free and I could do what I wanted. Like when I got my money from half the house sale, I said to the barrister, what do I have to buy a house or something? And she went, you can give it all to charity. You do what you want. And I was like, whoa, I'm free. So yeah, I rented a big house for fun and realised I didn't need anything. I realised I didn't need the staff. I didn't need it. So as I was getting less money, I was like, right, I'll buy a boat. And people thought I was joking. I was like, no, I can live on the boat. I live in my bedroom in the big house. So I bought a boat. I got a moor in, and the three kids live with me half the week on the boat. Well, two do. The boy doesn't like it because his dad's told him it's bad, which is fine. So I'm proud of my boy because he's a little troublemaker. He's found alternative accommodation. On my days, he'll go to two grandparents and he'll find a mate on a Saturday night to go and stay. So he's only really...
Except when he brings his mates to the boat.
Oh, and the mates love it. Yeah. That's the thing. Everyone was all like, oh, you can't live on a boat. Like, oh, my ex-husband said you're going to be living in squalor. Like, it's beautiful.
Can
my
I
boat.
Just ask you something? I know everyone asks you this. Is there a toilet?
There's a toilet. It's hot.
I'm so joking.
There's a shower. Yeah, no, there's everything.
Like, it's a cool boat, honestly.
Yeah. It's just cosy, but I got rid of everything. I gave everything away. I went on free cycle. It was so nice. People coming around your house and you're giving them a food mixer or a bed or... And people were going to stories behind it, and it was, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've hardly bought anything. I don't miss anything. The only thing I missed was a toaster. I gave that to my ex-husband for the kids.
Why don't you have a
toaster? It was a nice dual-lit one. Then, because I was using the oven, I thought I'd use the grill. And then I kept burning the toast. Yeah. So I bought another toaster. That was the only thing that I've needed. I thought I needed.
That's so funny.
It's not bad, is it?
Of all the things that you missed, it was a toaster.
A bit of peanut butter on toast.
Not a bath.
Don't miss a bath. No, my friend gives me baths.
Well, your friend baths you.
People want to give. They want to give.
You can come to mine for a bath anytime.
Yeah, have you heard the saying, needing nothing attracts everything?
Oh. Yeah.
This is what I have. I need nothing. So everyone's giving me stuff. And I'm like, I'm all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people said, you can't do that. You can't live like that. Your kids can't squash on the bath. Because they can, right?
It's an adventure.
The things we've been programmed to believe that we need and that we have to do in life is a load of rubbish.
Exactly.
It's a load of rubbish. I'm happy. I'm one of the happiest people. Well, everyone says, I've never seen it. I go in restaurants, I go, oh, it's the happy ones back. And I'm like, what? I haven't been here for 6 months and I'm the only happy one. Like, what is that? The car dealers I go to, oh, isn't that on the phone? And how do you know it's me? Because you're happy.
Because you're smiling in your
I want more
chat.
People to be happy, more people to just get hit rock bottom. Because when I see someone at the bottom, I'm like, you're going to go up. All you're going to do is go up. Yeah. But it's getting so, it's deciding to come out of the comfort zone, come out of what everyone wants you to do. But they all want to be me. They all want the joy. They all want my energy, but I don't give it out a lot.
Yeah.
And in that, what is the biggest thing that people challenge you about who you are and how you live?
Right, it's controversial, isn't it?
Go for it.
I believe no one belongs to anyone. So I have had relationships with people who are in relationships, but I totally respect their relationship. And they're getting something different from me. And I don't interfere with it. And I love it that they love someone else. So it's, I don't know what that's called. But
freedom.
Freedom. And people go, oh, they're using you. They're not using me. It's a mutual exchange. If the energy's good... I respect their partner. Even it's their business if they're lying or what they're doing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
A lot of people hate it when I start talking about that. But there's so many affairs going on and things going on. You're like, come on, just no one wants to admit it. So no. When I come out with some truth, it hurts. Like people just want to brush me away. Go, she's nuts, she's crazy. But I have lots of male friends. Most of my friends are male now because of the honesty thing. A lot of women don't want you to do well. They want to drag you where they are. They're in their safe little homes. They don't like it that I've upset everyone. So men are good, but I have about 10 men that I'm friends with and I get something different from each of them. And no man's going to say, you can't see that man. And I'm going, but he gives me something that you don't. Like that one trains handstands with me. That one trains strength with me. That one goes cinema with me. That one chats about the moon with me. Do you know what I mean? If you're getting something... Like, if your partner doesn't make you laugh as much as one of your girl mates, why can't you spend time with your girl mate?
Mm. But, yeah, you are.
And
I'm like,
not physical with all these men. It's not a physical thing.
No, not at all. But you are really hugely supportive of women, like, living their life and being...
Oh, yeah, I want to break all the chains. Men and women's chains. I see them walking around with couples. A lot of couples, I just see invisible chains. Like, one wants... Like, in the spa, one wants to go in the steam, one wants to go in the sauna. They can't go separate. They have to drag... One has to get dragged in by the other. And you're like, well, can't you just go on your own?
In case sexy woman in bikini comes in and...
Yeah.
That being you.
Yeah, but I'm like a man, so the alpha males are scared of me. They're the wealthy ones because I'm not impressed by their stuff.
Yeah,
and they can't understand it. I'm impressed with kindness, and yeah, I don't want anything from anyone. And this is people go, no, I thought you wanted something. I thought you fancied me when you chatted to me, but you don't. I've known you a year now. You're just my mate. Yeah, because that's I don't want anything.
No, I know.
I don't want more money. I don't want a house again. I don't want. I teach fitness, and that's just happened organically. My ex-husband didn't like me going to the gym. You say to the kids, it's bad.
Yeah.
How can the gym be bad?
Remember when you did your blaze and you kept going back?
I failed.
That is a blaze trainer.
Yeah, I teach blaze, which combat.
Is really
what
hard.
The hell is blaze?
Combat. Oh my God. Like Barry's boot camp sort of thing, but David Lloyd have got their own version.
Yeah, and, it's called, so sort of good.
Blaze.
Yeah, yeah, you literally burn 600 calories in a class. Yeah. Yeah, and it is.
What do you do? What is it like?
You do a treadmill, so you do sort of three, if it's 45-minute class,
but
3 minute
run
treadmill.
Fast, like.
Yeah,
really,
you could be
really
crawling
like,
on a dynamic mode, like, which is powering it yourself.
What's it? Sorry, I don't, you're literally talking stuff that I don't
know. Oh, you
even
don't
know.
Go to gym.
I'm a figure of.
You look
health.
All right. Like,
just about
like skis. Gym.
Fuck off.
I know. Like.
But yeah, I failed the course once, and then I got reassessed. I failed again, but being me, I found it funny. Right. I was like, the woman said, right, you failed. Okay, right, she went, you have to do the whole course again. And I think you're meant to say, don't worry, it's not for me. I was like, I
failed again. It was
hilarious. I'll go and do it again. So I did it again, then I passed.
Yeah.
And but it's good. So when I'm teaching the women, they're going, I can't do this now. And I'm like, look, I failed. If I fail, you can do it. Look, I teach it now. So, yeah, things like that, real. I'm just real. Like, if I'm rubbish at something, I'm rubbish at it. I'll admit it, and I'll if I want to get better at it, I'll do it.
Very real. very real. Nothing you see here is not real.
And I'll challenge people. They don't like that either. So this happened last night in the sauna. There's an Indian man, really fit, with his wooden beads around him, doing hot yoga on the top shelf of the...
But he started sort of, hot yoga.
He started humping the... He started humping the bench, right?
What?
And my friend...
Doing a press-up?
No, he was doing something...
What, having sex with it?
It was like that, but he obviously was... But my friends were trying to have a conversation in front of him, and I was waiting on myself. And me laughing made them laugh, and my friend went, oh, excuse Nat, she just gets the giggles at things she can't... And I ended up talking to the guy who looked in his 70s, and someone said, one of my friends said, what do you do for a living? And he went, I own a pharmacy. And I went to him, hold on a minute, right. So you're selling drugs to people when you're holistic. Like, what is that? And he looked at me, because, do you know what I mean? Drugs are just, it's
you're
not
just
helping.
Reminded me of something.
Illnesses,
really funny,
it's just masking stuff.
This, I was in a spin class the other day with the amazing Laura Gilbert, if you're listening, I love you dearly. And there was this guy, and he was in there. You know those training masks where you, like, thought he was wearing a coronavirus mask. 9 times. But it actually, it was one of those masks that if you're breathing, and so while we're doing a spin class, which you can imagine is like full on, and he's breathing, I was like, oh, I thought it was Darth Vader. It's literally like that. Breathing into this thing really putting me off. It's hilarious. But the people that do things in the gym that are so like,
there was a guy with a bikini on the other day, David Lloyd Chigwell, right? So, I don't like bitchy men as much as bitchy women. And the men were bitching. And I was going, why are you bitching? Like, he's owning it. He's in his... It was his old chest. It was nuts.
He was wearing a mankini.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been doing that.
But he had the short... It didn't have the bum. It was that bit where the chest
at the top.
Is.
Oh.
Yeah, the top.
He was wearing
the bikini bit. Yeah.
A vest mankini.
Vest mankini. Yeah. No, it was cycling shorts.
Oh, but you couldn't see the...
Like Mr. Motivator used to have, like
that's
back
it.
In the day, yeah. But like a really sculpted,
front.
Like, low one.
So all my big bodybuilder mates were being bitchy. And I was like, stop being bitchy. Like, he's happy.
Yeah.
I like people that own the weirdness.
Their thing. Yeah, own their thing.
Yeah, all the best people are crazy. Yeah. Like, people call me crazy on that. Someone called me nutty nat in the gym, and I was like, I'm taking it as a compliment. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what, they want me to get angry? Or
I love when people come at you with negativity, which must happen all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And your response is?
Yeah, people go, a man goes, oh, you look tired today. So I danced off. Do I look tired now? Like, what is it? He wants me to go, oh, do I look tired? Why do I look tired? Like, people want you
I'm like, because I had 2 hours sleep.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. No, people try and project their stuff onto you or me, but I totally don't take anything personally. But that's hard for people to get to, but if they hang around or see me a lot, they start doing it.
You do.
So I love it when I get messages going, because of you, I did this and...
Oh, my God, because of you. Actually, because of you, I'm doing this now.
Yeah,
this Food Bar Radio. Like, so because
that.
Of you. Three things.
I thought it was because of me.
Well, it was because you asked, but it was because of I wouldn't have said yes if it wasn't the life lessons that you taught me. Three life lessons that Natalie taught me, which I do live my life by. And it's so funny because she messages me all the time whenever I'm moaning about anything, and she's like... Did anybody die? And I'm like, not yet.
Sometimes you get a bit angry. Most of the time
I'm like, oh, yes, thank you. I needed to hear that. Nobody died, I don't think, unless, like, sometimes reply and I'm like, yeah, actually, someone jumped in front of a train. I'm really sorry. But someone actually did die. But no, the other thing, moving on, the other thing that Natalie taught me is what's the worst that could happen? Like, the worst that could happen is somebody dies. And she's like, okay. And then the other thing is Let It Go, which I like sing all the time. Let it go, let it go.
You forget how many times I've seen, like, my kids, all they do is watch Frozen.
Oh,
Let it go.
Yeah, but imagine, like, if you're walking around your office and someone really, really pisses you off, and then you're like, when I first learnt these life lessons off of Nat, I was like, I was walking around the office when someone pissed me off, and I'd have to walk away going, let it go, let it go. And I was singing it in my head, but it like started coming out a bit, and eventually I was like, oh my God. But the reason that I'm sharing that is because I want to know what the quotes or life advice that changed your life or that drives you today.
Well, I just think I live like I'm going to die. My sister hates it. My sister goes, "Nah, stop talking about death." She's, but people that are scared of death aren't living. That's the truth. If you're scared of dying, you're not. I'm ready to go. I am ready to go. Like, because I'm doing everything I need to do. Like, I don't wait for something. And too many people are waiting for retirement, for their new job, for. Oh, just for a man to come on, or a woman. No, you've got to accept everything as it is at this moment, and then it just flow.
Yeah.
Don't need. Don't try and grab stuff. Because I used to do that. I used to stop boyfriends leaving me, like, physically. Now I'll just go, yeah, off you go. If you're happier, go. Like, and people have gone, no, no, you might. If someone leaves you, you must be upset. But no, I'm not. I think if someone's happier without you, let them be happy. That this is the problem with most people. They're not happy. They're doing what they think they should do.
Yeah.
And not what they want to do.
So my last question for you is, you inspire me. You always inspire me. Since I heard about you and heard what you were like, actually. My friend Nick Levy, she told me about you. And who inspires you?
Anyone who's being real. Anyone who's being real and showing their craziness. No one with monetary wealth over... If they're being fake and they've got all this money, I've got no interest. But the real people... And the people I hang around with now are the people I wouldn't have gone near before because they looked different or they were different. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And now the normal people are the bad ones for me. The normal ones who are giving the impression they're perfect. No. So, crazy people inspire me. Like, my son said to me, "Mum, there's no one like you in this earth." He went,
"Phoebe, your daughter, she's like you."
She's like me. But is that when, Mum, only Einstein and John Lennon like you. That I love. Like, is that, my son doesn't think of me, but when he said that, I was like, "Whoa, I like that." That
is really, I love you, son.
You finally get me.
He does, really.
That is not words that came out of your dad's mouth. It's just come from you.
No, my dad, when my ex-husband asked to marry, if he can marry me, my dad said, "Are you sure? She's hard work." Uh-huh. So that set it all up.
Nah, in. Fuck off. That's not cool. Come on.
Nah. If he was right.
Ended up more hard working after she got divorced, though.
Now
you don't conform.
Now I'm me again, the 5-year-old. You know, the one who at school, they said, "What's your favourite colour?" And all the girls say pink, and I said orange. Yeah. That is a major moment for me, thinking back, I wasn't like everyone else. I wanted to be different, and... Yeah, little things like that all come back to my consciousness now, and I realise why I'm like I am.
Yeah. That's good, isn't it?
Isn't it?
That's good.
Yeah.
You know what we've got? What? We've got what do they call them? An ident. And we've got one of these. What's this?
Tuesday Takeover with Paul Mellor on FUBAR Radio.
It's pretty good when someone makes an ident for you, isn't it?
You're such a twat. Where's mine?
Yeah, you don't have one.
Oh, because I'm your co-host.
No, because I'm going to press it again.
Tuesday Takeover with Paul Mellor on FUBAR Radio.
So what have we got? We got Troublemaker versus... Or Breadmaker.
Shit, totally there we go. About that.
Nah, come on. Like,
right, this, I'm like, going to do...
I'm the one in the zone. I'm the
I'm
one
just gonna,
holding
right,
this shit
okay,
together.
Okay, cool. Yeah, right. Obviously.
This is a feature that we came up with in the pub.
Just put some topics, and I'm gonna call out a topic, and then you're gonna say like the first thing that comes into your mind and what you think about that.
Cool.
Which is gonna be hilarious. So, coronavirus.
Load of rubbish. Is that meant to say one word?
Anything.
Like a sentence, a phrase. Yeah.
Not in my world. That stuff is not in my world. I don't listen to news. Yeah. Watch telly.
No. Sustainability.
Sustainability. What's that mean? In what context?
Saving the earth and...
Oh, yeah, we've got to do that. Yeah. Do you know what? I can just say something. We're the only species that doesn't contribute to making the earth better.
There we go.
We muck it up.
Yeah.
Political correctness.
No.
Online dating.
No.
Why not?
Because you've got to feel the energy. You cannot, like, I've never done online dating.
You mean
dating.
You can't feel the energy, like, through the, no. a phone or an app?
No, no, you have to meet.
What colour knickers are you wearing now?
How about this dick pic?
No.
I've got loads of them.
Yeah. So have you?
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Share them all with my mates as well. We have, like, a little WhatsApp group and we share the
What, like a leaderboard?
Yeah.
That is so funny.
No, like, oh, how shameful you should be.
No, your vibe attracts your tribe. Your energy will be felt and the people like will come close.
Birthday cards and Christmas cards?
No! No, none of those cage. I have to do it because my kids.
Why?
But no. Because they're conforming. They're still in that... They're programmed still, aren't they? They go to normal school. I do not homeschool my kids. I'm not that... yeah. I don't want them with me all the time. I love them, but, you know. No occasions. No special occasions. I love Christmas Day and any day. Like, every day's Christmas, I say, all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to say
scrub
this
that one.
Yeah,
off.
Yeah, yeah. Seeing family at Christmas.
No, I've done crisis at Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Day. When my kids first had to leave me at Christmas and be with their dad, I went to crisis, and that was brilliant. Just seeing people, nothing, and realise how lucky you are. Mm. That changed my life, really, seeing that.
Good. Mobile phones?
Oh, yeah, you need them, I'm afraid.
Really?
Well, no,
oh
fuck,
God,
come on.
Really
no way.
Me.
Why? Like today, getting here and telling you I was here. And
You should have printed out a map. You got an Uber.
or an ordnance
which
survey
you need your mobile
map
phone
out.
For? Like,
yeah. Or oh, an shit, A to Z. Yeah. Do you remember when you started to get an A to Z?
Yeah, I love the A to Z.
I used to be a rep. I used to drive all over the country.
No, can I tell you, this is one of the reasons I could get divorced, is because you don't need anyone to read the map anymore.
Yeah.
This is a big... I think a lot of people must think I'm going to leave my partner because I can get everywhere I need. With Google Maps.
I don't need you to be the navigator anymore.
You always needed someone there. Yeah. Then once you've got your phone, you don't need
a sat-nav.
Sat-nav.
Sat-nav. It calls divorce.
Cause of divorce.
Sat-nav. I bet you a few people have done that. Gone, right, I don't need a map reader.
The royal family?
They're cute.
Yeah.
Hey, the Queen, she's well cute.
They're cute.
I mean, she's like doing so well. She's so old. Meghan and Harry
stuff,
in particular.
I love. They've done what I did. They've been troublemakers.
They are troublemakers.
Let's get them on the show.
Oh my God! Yes.
Quick, someone get on the phone.
I was going to call Harry.
Get on the phone to Harry and Meghan.
I feel for them, but I know what it's like.
Why
but not on that
them?
Scale.
Why
no,
do you
everyone,
feel for them?
Everyone giving it to them when all they're doing
they've
is living.
Millions.
It's because everyone else isn't happy. Anyone that's having
got
a go at them.
A million Instagram followers. Yeah,
everyone having a go at them.
Is that happiness, is it? Yeah. Like I got a million Instagram followers, so I must be happy.
No, anyone not happy for them is not happy themselves.
As well. Holidays with family.
Yeah, I don't need a holiday now.
No, you're always on holiday.
Yeah, I'm on holiday every day. Yeah, my whole life. You shouldn't have a life where you need a holiday.
I'm going to ask all of Alice. Guesses. Okay, so this is interesting for you because you don't drink in booze.
No drink. No
Did you
drugs.
Used to drink?
No. I used to be a bond broker in the city when I was conforming, and I used to take clients out, but I just pretended. I'd have a lemonade and they'd have think it was vodka because I had to pay for everything.
Okay.
Or if they had shots, I'd get a water, they'd have tequila, and they'd all be on the floor and I'd go home.
So years ago when I lived in Tenerife, I used to drink... So we'd like challenge the people that came in the bar to drinking competitions, and we'd pour us the water and them a shot, and they'd end up on the floor, and I'd be like, "That is such a lightweight." I've been drinking.
Yeah, no
water
drugs, no drink. It's just natural joy. Like, and I think everyone can get it if they.
But would you fake it though? Like, so if you were like you drink the shot of water. And then you'd be like, oh, that's horrible.
Oh, I would literally go, ugh, totally. So we kind of mentioned this before, but affairs?
You've got to do what makes you happy, but the truth will always come out. The truth always comes out. You've got to own it. You've got to own your behaviour. Once you own it, once I said, I've done this, instead of acting all scared, then no one can get to you and... Everything happens as it should.
Everything happens
as it should.
That is also your saying. So, and the last one is veganism.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I hear everyone at the gym. We have lots of discussions. The meat eaters.
Are you vegan?
No, I'm pescatarian, but I do eat a bit of meat. If someone's made me dinner, I'm not going to say no.
What's a pescatarian?
Eat fish.
You eat fish.
I eat mainly fish.
Do you eat chicken? No.
if my mum makes a dinner, I'll eat her dinner.
Yeah.
I won't be fussy. It's not.
You wouldn't go out and have
I'd order fish. Oh, actually, I did have a lamb kebab a few weeks ago. Cheese kebab.
Extra chilli sauce, extra hot.
I'll eat whatever I feel like eating. I haven't got a box. I'm not in a box. But I admire everyone who is passionate about what they eat, and I listen to their views. I understand everyone, so...
Well, you are super, super, super cool.
Where can people find you? Like in a stalker way, not like your address.
Yeah, I've got a few of them.
Yeah.
Natalie Musafia on Instagram, on Facebook. I'm the only one in the world, so you can't really...
Yeah, there we go.
Musaphia.
Thank you so much for coming on. It's been amazing. I know it's been a really big thing for Sam. It's been lovely. I've really enjoyed listening to your story. It's been really good.
Thank you.
And what we got now? Oh, fuck. We've got...
Mark?
No, we've got a song.
Oh, another one.
Yeah.
My choice.
It's your choice again.
Good one.
No. We're starting low and we're going to get better. Don't Dream It's Over, Crowded House.
We know they won't win.
was all right, wasn't it? But Cigarettes and Alcohol by Oasis, managed to squeeze that one in. You didn't really like that. You were like, when we were talking about
no,
the
I
tracks.
No,
you were like,
I like the alcohol,
yeah,
not
yeah,
cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, anyway, I'm going to play our ident again.
Tuesday Takeover with Paul Mellor on FUBAR Radio.
Well, I've got one.
Yeah. Workers, so Steve Johnson has texted in and he's asked, why do fat people have to swing their arms when they're walking? I mean, it's a good question, isn't it? It's, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they have to waddle a bit more. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Who knows? Who knows? That is the question. Our second guest of the day is Mark Denton. Mark is the founder and creative director of Koi Communications. It's a multidisciplinary creative agency in London. And he is the author of Unleash the Power of Puerility, which is... be a kid more, I suppose. Is
yeah,
that right? Mark?
Like, yeah, to be puerile. That's, yeah, well, it's lovely to be here to start off with. Being puerile, it's like thinking like a little kid.
Yeah.
And I've got no choice, really. That's how I think.
I've never grown up.
And I'm getting on a bit, but I still like stupid stuff like kids do.
Yeah. But so why did you write the book? I mean, before we get into that, me and you are in the same gang. Both run ad agencies. We've both been, well, I mean, you're a little bit longer in the tooth than me, but not that
only
much longer. Yeah, only a little bit, only a little
decade
bit.
Decade or two.
Yeah. But you've made some massive ads, you know, ads that have like that have sort of stand the test of time.
Yeah, and it was back when advertising was popular as well.
That's the big when people
don't
used to...
Don't anymore now, do they?
Yeah. When people used to talk about the ads in between Coronation Street.
You could choose whether to watch an ad.
Yeah, now I get in the back of a cab. I don't tell them get chatting to the cab driver. I don't say I'm in advertising. I say I'm an estate agent just to appear more popular.
They are not popular. I hate estate agents.
Well, no, there was some research, didn't there? What was it, about a year ago? And they listed, I don't know, like 20, 30 different job titles,
That's
job
right.
Industries. And the advertising industry came second to bottom. We only beat estate agents.
Yeah, undertakers are more popular.
Yeah, undertakers,
us,
politicians.
More people die.
Yeah, like all of those people are way more popular than us. That's mad. It's
easy to work out why the ads are not as good as they used to be.
Yeah.
It's simple as that.
And you made some good
They're
ones.
An intrusion, aren't they? People try and get away from them now.
Yeah, well, the point is that they were always an intrusion. They have always been an intrusion, but people gave them respect that they deserved because the ad industry gave everyone else the respect that they deserved.
Well, that's it. They had to be good because you had to
make money.
Well, you needed permission to get people's attention.
Yeah.
So to stop them going and make a cup of tea in the break in the middle of Coronation Street, you had to have a good ad, otherwise it wouldn't be seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but years ago, the only time really that you ever saw advertising was in between Coronation Street. Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
Well, yeah, the other thing is that like the, so what you're talking about is like there's ads everywhere now. You're on your phone, there's ads all the time, your social media.
Yeah,
all
but
this
ads
thing.
Come at you now, you don't even know when there's an ad coming at you.
Yeah.
You're like,
But I mean, we're not here to talk about the death of advertising or like the state of it, you know, like but there's a lot of things that cause the lowering of the standard of advertising. But the reason you're here, not only because you've got your name written on your jersey, which I think is fucking brilliant.
Oh.
Yeah, you've got Denton written
this
on the front.
Thing.
Yeah, this old thing.
Oh
yeah.
My God, that's welcome. Yeah.
How did you not notice that?
And he's got a pound sign on his jersey.
Well, it's my favourite
symbol. Yeah. Give me some of them pounds. The thing, one of the... Literally, the first page of the book, I'm going to hold it up, is dedicated to your wife, which I thought was brilliant. And it's got a rather fetching photo of a, well, you know.
She's looking good there. Yeah, that's her on a good day.
Yeah. I know that's very visual, but that
sexy.
So how did you come about with that?
Well, my missus edited the book.
Really?
She's a good writer. In her own. Yeah. In fact, I wrote it and then I got... because I suddenly discovered I wasn't actually very good at writing. I'm good at drawing silly pictures and making them real. I got a very good writer. His name's Paul Burke.
Yeah.
He knocked my words into shape and put a lot of long words in between and turned it into something a bit more special. And my missus edited the whole book. And I thought, well, I've got to do a dedication to her.
Yeah.
And I just chose to dress her up as a very strange looking old Essex granny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, nothing wrong with Essex.
Nothing wrong with Essex at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm from Essex.
Or Essex grannies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love Essex.
But like she, you know, she looks proper, you know.
Thank you.
So I'll then
you well, proper Essex.
One of these things here, don't think too hard. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's very easy to overthink anything. Certainly in advertising, you can scribble a funny idea on a bit of paper and stare at it and talk yourself out of it.
Yeah.
So, it's funny, I'll use the word funny, because I think that's what we talked about earlier, ads not being quite as popular as they used to be. You're not allowed to do funny anymore. Everyone's a little bit scared of funny. Humour seems to be quite a frightening entity. I do a lot of talks for students and stuff, and they come up to me at the end of the talk and say, look, you've said some funny things. You know, what is it about humour? Can we use it? They seem actually scared of saying funny things.
Like because they're scared to say the wrong thing.
It's too easy to offend people nowadays. Oh. And I think that's why so many adverts have got this worthy call strapped on that might have some sort of reason to be there, may not have had some sort of reason to be there, because everyone wants to please everyone, and as a result, they please no one.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
entertaining. But
why do you think that they're avoiding it? I mean, is it a cultural thing? Is it a generational thing? With the likes of me and you, when we were 18, 19, were we avoiding humour then?
No.
Why are they doing it now?
Because obviously the world's turned a few times and we're sitting in a different kind of environment altogether.
Yeah.
I can't explain it, but it's
the way
it is.
It's an observation.
And it's very handy for me, really, because I've been doing advertising and the like for 40-odd years. I'm at the end of my career, really. If I'm lucky, I've got another 5 years in me.
But would you even still want to be in it?
Well, it's something I question every single day. Mm. And then I'll get a good script in and I think, oh, I'd like to direct that.
Mm. Yeah.
And then I forget all about my moans and then we get on with doing something that's fun. Because I do like funny stuff, but also I like picking curtains as well. So if I get an opportunity to pick a nice coloured pair of curtains and a jazzy carpet and put that in an advert.
Yeah. Then why not?
Oh, I thought you meant you like interior design.
Oh, I like that. I like everything. Yeah. if I see a nice bit of crochet, I think, I bet I could do that. anything creative.
Yeah.
Anything creative.
Curious. So, you're curious. That, you look at stuff and you look at it differently to other people. That's the point that you're making.
Well, I'd like to think so. But, your original question about thinking too hard, I don't think that hard. I do genuinely get enthusiastic about almost anything I can think of.
Yeah.
Because despite the moans, there's still a lot of good stuff floating around. There's a lot of inspirational stuff. Just doesn't have to be in advertising much anymore. But you look at things like TV's never been better, has it?
Yeah.
Telly's never been better, so I love
Netflix. And
the amount of money that's flowing into the production of TV, into the content of TV, is like unprecedented right now. You've got the Netflix, the Disney.
Yeah, but there's no adverts on Netflix.
No, the point being, there's lots of people investing really heavily in the creativity of TV as a medium.
Yeah.
But conversely, there's an absolute shit show of a set of advertising that accompanies a lot of it.
Yeah, because I think advertising is just... I'm not in your game. So I just think it has changed so much. I'm watching Mad Men at the moment and I absolutely love it. And when I look at you two and I listen to you two and I've seen your show, and I'm watching Mad Men, I'm like, that is what it's about. But they're not conformists. And that was when advertising was really... It was like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I started in 75 or 76, something like that. So there was still, despite the fact that the majority of the Mad Men, that's in the 50s, isn't it? 50s, early 60s. 60s, 50s and 60s. So there's still a bit of that lurking about. And, I'm not saying the way that people behaved then made them more creative. It's just there's loads of different circumstances that have changed things. I bet the pendulum swings back the other way at some point.
Yeah, I think it will.
Clients are going to say, I'm spending all this money, no one wants to watch me ads, can't you make them as good as the programs?
Yeah.
And then suddenly there'll be a different
conversation. And there'll be a bravery to the decision making that goes on.
Yeah, you know. See, the thing is, people talk about bravery, don't they? And talk about being brave. I think it's bloody brave to run a really vanilla flavoured bit of wallpaper.
Yeah.
Instead of an advert that might entertain.
Like, just put a white piece of paper and just put one word. Buy alcohol. Why alcohol? <It's,
laughs> I mean, you could make
that.
Yeah,
ads. You don't need that.
Yeah.
No, you don't. No, well, the headlines are not much better than that now.
Yeah, I mean, that's as much as it gets.
But that's the thing. Headlines make advertising, which makes advertising bullshit.
What?
Like, no, you know when you see all these, like, oh, Z-list celebs, and they're like advertising stuff because they've been hashtag ad. Yeah. And it's like, I'm no way going to buy that stuff. I'm not, because I'm not buying into it. So I actually do believe in traditional advertising that... Yeah. You know, I get the tube every single day, and I really take those ads in. Way what,
the
more.
Really?
So.
The ones on the tube.
Oh, my God, blimey, Jane. You're not like the average punter then, because they just walk past them.
They're wallpaper. Yeah. No, they're wallpaper. I mean, what?
I would have thought
no,
so.
No, but they're not wallpaper because they're not effective. Like, the idea of a poster on the tube should be effective, but only if it's got some decent creative on it.
But, like that one that you showed me earlier. But that, like, I guess... I don't watch television, like normal television, where adverts are in between. I never would watch a live television programme. I don't read magazines or newspapers, so I don't see that kind of advertising.
Yeah,
so the only time I see advertising is on Facebook, Instagram, or on the tube.
On the tube, on the side of a bus, the side of a taxi.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when I see something that I'm interested in, that I'm looking for, it really still stands out.
That sounds encouraging. So,
yeah.
Oh, good.
It's not totally screwed, is it? Come on,
give up.
Come on, let's get out there.
Yeah, advertise.
I've got another page from your book, which is The Benefits of a Masturbate.
I probably called the chapter The Benefits of a Masturbate because I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
God knows what the rest of it's like, that chapter. I can't remember. Yeah. My book, it is good, buy it.
Yeah,
it's on Amazon.
So go on, it's on Amazon. Tell them, how can people buy it?
They buy it on Amazon.
Yeah.
Unleash the Power of Puerility. Or if they went to my website on the shop, koi-com.com, they buy it there, I'll bung in loads of free posters and stickers and free stuff.
Because I asked you to write me a smutty message.
Did I?
Yeah. And you did. You were very nice. You're very,
yeah, I remember you asking, but I couldn't remember what the smutty message was.
Well,
I
no,
bet
so
it wasn't too smutty.
Well, it's got the words buttocks, bastards, and humongous melons in it. So,
oh, well, that's strong enough.
It's strong. That's smutty enough. I really like the book.
Thank you.
And I think it's the kind of thing that not just people in our industry would get something from. You know, anybody that is sat in any other kind of if they're sat in an accountants or lawyers or whatever, you put this on your desk, they're going to make better decisions. They're going to challenge the status quo by having this on their book. I think, you know, on their desk, because it's going to remind them to not make bullshit decisions in meetings. You know, it's going to sort of poke them along on the journey type of thing. That's what I like about it.
Well, you know, most of what I do, and I think most of what any good creative, it's generally instinctive, and that's why there's a chapter about not thinking too hard. Generally, your first thoughts are the best ones.
Yeah.
And I don't think many of us grow up. You know, everyone laughs at a fart, don't they? In the right circumstances.
Try not to do it in here. It's a small room.
It's a small room.
So, you know, it's very easy to think that you've got to get a bit more sophisticated as you grow up.
Yeah.
But generally, I think we're all tapping into what we were thinking when we were 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a question, actually.
Go on,
this is from
it.
One of my mates, Ellie Spratt. She's one of my television addicts. I'll tell you about that later. But she wants to know if you think that adverts actually influence people where to shop. And she's talking about, you know, when the supermarkets do their Christmas adverts.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Do you think that, like, makes a
do you know what? I'd be interested to know what she thinks. Insofar as if she liked the John Lewis ad, did it make her shop in John Lewis?
Well, there we go.
Don't know. Yeah, I mean, advertising all these years. I don't know. But generally, you do a good advert.
Yeah.
Thinking back a
but
bloody
how much
long
money
way.
Goes into those
yeah,
no, do you now?
Know, you don't have to spend a lot of money. No. You just have to be clever.
Yeah.
And if you think about, this is a bloody long time ago, but the likes of, I don't know if you remember the 501s adverts for Levi's years and years and years ago. The jeans market was dead then. Then they ran the famous laundrette ad with Nick Kamen in it. He goes in to a laundrette, takes his jeans off. That. I'd love to take credit for that. I happened to be.
Is that you?
No, it wasn't. It was my boss at BBH. It was a great agency that I worked at back in the 80s. And they made that, and it changed the jeans market around, saved them. So good advertising does work.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't have to be expensive. You know, you don't have to spend a fortune on it. It just has to be a good
Diet
idea.
Diet Coke, man.
Yeah. Look at you like, oh, Diet Coke.
Diet Coke.
And that's the power of advertising. It's not, that's not a fortune to shoot. That really isn't.
Yeah.
I think people overcomplicate it. People, they hide behind complication. Like, it's really difficult to get to simple, but once you get to it, it can actually be quite cheap to produce. And it's really, really powerful.
You're dead right. The generally, the best ideas look really simple. And the best ideas, again, there was a very famous advertising campaign. I'm quoting from old ones because the new ones are not as memorable.
Yeah.
But, and I happened to work on some of these back in the old days. Heineken refreshes the parts other beers can't reach.
Fucking
I remember when I was at art college and I saw one of the early posters and I thought, oh, I could do that. I could do one of those. And that's the power of a simple idea, especially if you're a little bit creative. You think, oh, I'd like to have a go at that.
I could do something like that.
You could
do
remember that, of course.
When I got a job at Low Howard Spink, was the agency that had Heineken later on. When I got a job there, when you got the actual brief for a Heineken post, it's a lot harder than you think. But at the same time...
But it inspired you to get into it.
You wanted to know the answer. She has replied, and she said that this year her daughter was obsessed with having that dragon that featured in it. So,
fantastic. It
worked.
That's encouraging. You know, I love to hear stories like that.
What is the most... I know you know him so well, so I'm like intrigued.
No, jump in.
What is the most... the advert that stands out that you've been part of and created the most?
I did a big Nike campaign.
Yeah.
See, we had Nike as an account when I had an agency.
Yeah.
We had it back in the late 80s, early 90s, I think. We called them Nike because we didn't know it was called Nike.
Nike?
And they were the number two brand at the time. I think Reebok were the number one, and we got around on that. Did a big poster campaign, and I love to think that it was something to do with our campaign that made them number one.
Yeah.
But within a few years, they were number one.
This was back in the mid 90s.
Yeah, probably mid 90s.
This I mean, I've already referenced it earlier, but this is the Michael Jordan one.
Yeah, that's right.
Isaac Newton nil. Yeah. You know, that's
the first poster we did for him.
I mean, that is fucking gold.
Oh, like, well. Yeah. Thank you.
No, honestly.
I'm glad when
I'm sat as a designer, you know, I'm sat there in school or whatever, that is the sort of thing that, you know, got me into the industry.
Yeah.
And it got me here today.
We've got another email from one of our listeners.
Matt Carter-Johnson, who I know.
Do you know him?
Yeah, I know him.
One of your mates.
That is a bullshit question.
Is it?
That's the most boring question. No. That's the most boring question.
Yeah, but do you know what's really funny? No. So his view on the luxury sector and how do you think the affluent audience reacts to. So the funniest thing, you know that...
the funniest thing.
That bloke that I sent you the Instagram, that cab
fella.
Yeah,
the cabbie. Ginger bearded cabbie.
I'm
going to
give you a shout out now, bloke. Crazy_ginger_cabbie. You are absolutely hilarious. I doubt you're listening. But... The reason that I saw him and found him was because of Rosie Fortescue.
I don't know who that is.
Some girl who was on Made in Chelsea a couple of years ago, who's really, really, really super posh.
Yeah.
She posted about this guy who's like a geezer cabbie bloke. And I was like, so actually I do think that.
But we've actually, Matt, unfortunately, the question's been taken off the screen. I was in the pub with him yesterday, and you should write better questions, Matt. I mean, let's be honest, come on.
It looked a bit sensible, that question, sitting.
Yeah.
I haven't got an answer for that one. Yeah. I need someone a little bit brainier.
So I've got another one from your book. It's better to do it than not to do it.
Yeah, look, do you know, a whole chapter about in there early on about, I'm just down in the pub with... a photographer after we'd done, probably done a Nike shoot. And I said, here, Malcolm Venbo, very famous, advertising photographer. I said, here, Malcolm, how do you fancy dressing, not dressing up, I do the dressing up.
I do
that all the time. I said, how do you fancy shooting me with me dressing up as my fictional ancestors? And he said, yeah, all right. I didn't have a plan. I just drew a load of stupid fictional ancestors.
Yeah.
Dressed up as those fictional ancestors. He shot me, and then we turned them into portraits. And then that led to me being in the National Football Museum, because one of the ancestors was an Edwardian footballer.
And this shows you how far you can go with blag.
Because I had all these pictures. I thought, what am I going to do with those? So I thought, right, I know. I was a bachelor at the time. I'll turn my flat into a cartoon stately home so I can put all the portraits up, you know, like you do. And I did that. And then before you know it, a Japanese TV production company around doing a half-hour documentary about my flat on Japanese telly. So, everyone's down the pub and said, wouldn't it be funny if you did X, Y, and Z, and then you have another pint and then you forget about it? But I like actually doing the stuff.
Yeah.
And it makes these other magical happenstances occur.
Yeah, exactly.
By accident. I had no plan.
If you could make one advert now, which brand would you pick?
Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm in the process of doing some adverts for a particular brand, and it's called the Edible Anus Company. It's a range of
chocolates.
Very nice chocolates, milk, white, and plain chocolates, no. I do like having a chat. I'm at a do. My missus is best mate, her boyfriend, I'm chatting to him, he's an artist, his name's Magnus. And I get chatting to him. I said, what are you up to? He said, well, I've just launched this brand of chocolates. I said, oh, yeah, what they call? He said, edible anuses. I said, oh, yeah. Because he likes a chat as well. He's at a bus stop, apparently, one day. He's at a bus stop. Gets chatting to a young lady at the bus stop. Before you know it, she's in his studio with her legs up in stirrups with her bumhole being cast. They use that as the mould and then produce this lovely range of... They work. The finest Belgium chocolate at the time. I think he's getting it sourced over here now, but it's out there, so we're doing some posters for him. So I thought, I've got to be your advertising agency.
Yeah, fancy a bit of that.
It felt too seductive, didn't it? That's the sort of client that I would work for.
Yeah.
Angry.
You did not think he was going to talk about that, did you?
Do you know
you
what?
Did not think that?
Had I known that was coming up, I'd have brought a couple of boxes along.
Are they good chocolates?
They're very good.
Yeah, bring them in.
Have we got time for Troublemaker or Breadmaker?
Yeah, we do.
Tuesday Takeover with Paul Mellor on FUBAR Radio.
Right, now it's your thing. You've got to ask your troublemaker, breadmaker.
So this is, I'm just going to name some topics. You've got to tell us what you think about these topics, just like a quick sentence.
The first thing that comes
into your head. Sounds odd. I'll have a go.
Coronavirus.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, you've got me going already. I haven't got a clue. What's it mean? What do I say?
What do you think about it?
What do I think about it? I think, I'm dangerously close to the most vulnerable audience. I know, we touched elbows earlier. I'll have a little scrub up later on.
No, we kicked feet, didn't
we? Oh, we did, yeah.
Sustainability.
Sustainability. Oh, goodness, another sensible...
Too sensible. Some funny ones. Okay, all right.
Sustainability.
Oh, well, seeing family at Christmas.
I do that occasionally. I used to go into work at Christmas Day because, when my mum was alive, if you wanted to see an argument in full flow, you'd go back home.
Christmas Day.
So I used to go to work, but that's a different story altogether.
All right, the royal family.
I sort of like them. I'm going off them a little bit at the moment. It's all getting a bit... It's getting a little bit divided, isn't it?
Yeah. So then Meghan and Harry.
Do you know what? It's funny, isn't it? It's funny because I thought, first of all, I thought, Queen, turf them out.
Yeah.
Turf them out. Oh. And then suddenly I saw Meghan the other day online. She's doing this really good chat to young black kids. I thought she was bloody good. And I thought, actually, really, maybe she was the future.
Yeah,
maybe I got that totally wrong.
Okay.
There.
Mobile phones.
I've got one. It's the biggest one possible.
I got one.
My old man hasn't got one, but I've got one, and it's got the biggest type on it you can get because my eyes are failing.
Can't see. Recreational drugs.
The only drugs I get anywhere near is Preparation H and...
what is that?
And Synaptogen.
Maybe move on to something else.
Okay. Affairs. Not the current ones.
Yeah, look, yeah. Affairs. Bloody hell.
Let's not talk about that.
Let's talk to the next one.
I've never had one. I've heard they're very popular.
Okay.
One more. Go on,
birthday
one more.
Cards and Christmas cards.
I make them myself.
Of course he does.
Right, I tell you what, Mark, I've had an absolute blast. I've really, really enjoyed your chat.
Oh, it's been lovely being here.
It's good, isn't it? You know, yeah. I like anybody.
Just getting the hang of it now.
I know. Make good ads still.
Yeah.
I look at them.
Yeah. We're trying.
No.
I like anybody that's got their name, their surname written on the top of their jumper in massive letters. full picture. Anyway, it's been an absolute blast. Where can people buy your book? Plug it one more time.
Yeah. Amazon, on Amazon, but buy it on koi.com/shop, and I'll put in lots of freebies.
And you'll write my little message.
Anything they want.
Anything they want, yeah.
Within reason.
It's been an absolute blast. Thanks, mate. I really enjoyed it.
Cheers,
mate.
Ta-da.
Yeah, cheers.
Let's go.
Here's Guns N' Roses, Paradise City.
Take me down to the paradise city where the
Yes, mate. That was proper, wasn't it? That was a bit of all right, wasn't it? I love a bit of Guns N' Roses.
Love Guns N' Roses.
Right, so we're running a bit behind because we're not that organised. So our next guest is a good friend of mine. I feel like I've just invited my friends along to the show. he's a good friend of mine. He runs an agency, a marketing agency called Offended Marketing. He writes the absolute fucking shit out of LinkedIn. He picks fights with people. He will, there we go, he's giving me the V's.
I'll do that by accident.
Yeah. And he's an all-round good egg. So welcome, Dan Kelsall.
Hello.
How was that red wine?
Well,
for you?
I just took a sip, just as I'm on tube.
Great start. Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. It's good. Yeah. It's good to have you down, isn't it?
It is, mate.
Because you live in Manchester.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
With your two cats.
No, they're gone.
What they died or
no? The ex took them.
Oh no.
Yeah, the goners, mate.
That's kind of put my foot in it immediately.
It's all good, mate. I've got tissue.
I'm in a good situ.
No cats.
Yeah, no or cats. Ex. Or ex, yeah. So.
Yeah, they're not dead, you know. Yeah. They're alive and well.
Yeah, apart from that, I think.
So she.
Yeah, you good? Yeah, so she.
I was going to say the ex or the cats.
Yeah. So how's things, apart from that?
Good, mate. Yeah, good. I think I've got coronavirus. Might be a hangover.
You did turn up in a gas mask.
I did, funnily enough. Yeah, with no pants on.
I see that.
And a gag ball.
I did. No, we went out last night. We had a big client meeting this morning, so naturally we went and prepared for it by staying out till 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So now I'm really hot and I've got a cough. So
yeah.
So
Offended, I know what Offended is, but tell me what Offended Marketing is.
So it's basically a creative agency. So we just do, we just focus on ideas, basically. We're bringing my commercial director in there, Dino. He's got
Dino.
Little fact about Dino: he's got a massive head. SpongeBob SquarePants was actually modelled on it. But he described us as a 1950s ad agency, just without the misogyny and with a bit more drinking.
Yeah. So for the benefit, because what Sam does is she asks me, "Who are you in Mad Men?" That's what she asked me.
Oh,
that's
I love Mad Men.
So
I'm
that's your way of understanding who does what. So who are you in Mad Men?
Well, I like to. Well, obviously, like to think I'm Mr. Draper, don't I? Look. So does Dean. But I don't know. I mean, you know. I'd say Dean's that. Who's that chubby bloke who gets fired in the first series? That chubby bloke who gets fired in the first series.
Who remembers the first series?
That's what I mean. Nobody remembers him. That's Dean.
It might be the second series, and then you've just ruined it for me.
Yeah. Mm. Well, there we go.
Well, have you not watched the first one?
No, I'm halfway through series two.
Yeah. But that's how you determine.
In 2 days.
That's because you're a binge.
Oh, proper binger. Yeah. Guess another wine.
Yeah, do us a favour. So you wrote a book as well.
I did.
What's it called? Go on, tell me.
It's called Fucking Good Content.
Yeah.
Is it fucking good content?
I think it's a brilliant book.
It's mostly stick figures.
It's a brilliant book.
We did a bit of a test. We wanted to see if we could write a book in 20 hours.
Yeah.
From the first word on paper. To the point it goes to print,
yeah,
and see what we could do with it. Some reason, fucking loads of people bought it, and it had sold just over 8,000 copies.
What, you stayed up all night and wrote it in 20 hours, or you was like 5 hours?
No, it was 20 hours in total. I didn't do a marathon.
Oh, no, it was 20 hours in total. I thought you sat there for 20 hours. 20 hours
I thought because I'm quoted in it. That's why I like it.
That's why you've got him in. Yeah.
Final.
So this book that you wrote that I'm in.
Yeah. Again,
Paul's my creative. I was going to say creative dad then, creative older brother.
Boy. Yeah, like dad. Yeah. Dad. Yeah.
He's obviously cheers, a lot older than you.
My dad, I don't think, yeah,
we had granddad, then you, and then son.
Is that how you see it?
I thought that was enough.
So you?
You do realise you're live on the radio, so yeah.
Yeah.
So what's in the book that I'm quoted in?
Loads of stick figures, few penis drawings.
Why?
Just basically a brain dump of all my advice to do with creativity and penises. Yeah, there's a lot of penises in there. And just general marketing and content marketing advice.
Yeah. It's all about polarizing opinion. That's the point. That's the whole shtick of your agency. Yeah. It's all about, like, if you can find a bunch of people that will like what you're talking about, mm-hmm. and they'll buy from you, there's probably 90% of people won't buy from you. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Hone down on those 10.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you're trying to appeal to everyone, you're going to appeal to no one. That's always going to be the case.
Yeah, yeah.
And plus,
it's no fun
being fucking nice, is it?
Yeah. It's no fun being nice. No, someone's just said something nice about us, though, they've just emailed in. Do you want to read it, Sam? Because it's about you.
Aww. Somebody said, "Hi, Sam. Good show. Refreshing to hear people who know what they're talking about. Can't be me. And have some bands with. You sound like you're having fun. Totally. Good luck with it. Thanks, Alfie."
So, Alfie the Highlander. Do we know who that is?
No.
Yeah. Is it someone you swipe right on Tinder? Or you?
No. Tinder's old. Tinder's full of married men. Apparently, it's Hinge now, but they're really ugly. So, I'm more Bumble.
Your Bumble, right. Yeah. So where can we find you on Bumble?
Swipe right.
All right, apart from running a fucking awesome agency and writing a decent book that's got me in it, what else have you been up to?
What else have I been up to? Drinking a lot. Yeah. Drinking a lot.
Yes,
cheers to that. I seem to, as my professional life goes upwards, my personal life goes downwards.
Yeah.
So I've managed to grow this agency. We're doing all right. But then at the same time, I've ended up, 32 years old, living with my mate's mum.
No way.
We're not in a relationship. It's
just like in brackets.
Well, not one she's accepted.
Yeah, no cats. In a fucking Hyundai i20 that keeps breaking down.
Yeah.
So that's.
You haven't got your own place. You're 32.
That's right. That's right. Proper shots fired,
yeah,
there, isn't it?
I don't because
you're like a swipe left.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. That's maybe my problem on Bumble and Hinge. Just get fucking rejected all the time, don't I?
But do you say that you live with your mate's mum?
No, they only find out when they come back
on the first date.
And Sue brings them in a bacon butty in the morning.
He doesn't bring one for the girl in the other side.
She knows her favourite. She knows her favourite. I like that. Hey, what do you think to the wine? It's all right, isn't it?
It's nice. What is it?
Yeah, a bit of Santa Million. It's nice. Cool. Decent. We've got a bit of Pauliac.
Are you a wine connoisseur?
Nope. But I would drink anything. I drink most things.
What do you drink?
You know what? I don't know. It depends what the day is. Me and Dino yesterday had 6 pints of Guinness with a client.
Solid. There you go. It's going to keep the coronavirus away.
Yeah. And we got on the train. Well, obviously not. We got on the train. 2 cans of Bud.
Yeah.
A bottle of wine. And then we hit the town.
In London.
And I woke up. Yeah. Literally face down
on top of Dean.
On top of Dean, yeah. But anything is the show.
Anything goes.
Right. Okay. I'm gonna play my ident again.
Tuesday Takeover with Paul Mellor on FUBAR Radio.
Reach over and punch you in the face.
Do it.
Okay.
Tuesday Takeover with Paul Mellor on FUBAR Radio.
Right. So we're on to troublemaker or bread maker. Let's do it again. We're running a little bit behind time, and Cindy, our next guest, she's in New York, and
this bit, okay. We are basically asking people what they think about these topics.
Okay. So
you just got, this is quick fire, just got to know your instant answer.
You got to talk into the microphone, Sam.
Huh?
You got to talk the microphone there, you got to talk into it.
Sorry. People probably can't
you're on
hear
the radio
me.
And
people said they could hear me through the wall, and you're saying they can't hear me in the microphone that is like 3 centimeters away from me. Okay, coronavirus.
Well, I've got it, haven't I?
Yeah. Do you actually think you've got it?
I don't know. I'm very hot. I've got a cough.
Yeah.
But then I also feel like after a few beers, so I'm a bit like, Dean's convinced we've both got it.
I actually think I have got it as well.
You think everyone's got it and it's been done by the government?
Yeah, I think it's
a conspiracy?
Yeah,
massive,
she loves a conspiracy theory.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, why?
Yeah. I think we're trying to kill people off to save the world because there's too many people.
Anyway, that note, let's move to the next one.
This is not a quick fire. We could have a massive conversation about that, but then we'll run out of time. Sustainability. Too boring for you.
Sustainability. That's
still
boring.
Do you separate plastics and shit like that?
No, I'm terrible. I drink out of plastic bottles, chuck them outside. Yeah. Little animals get stuck in them.
Landfill as you throw it.
Yeah. My garden is a landfill.
Political correctness. I'm laughing saying this.
I mean, it's subjective.
Non-binary? Yeah. Online dating. I think we've heard a bit about your online dating.
It's a bit, I don't know, it's a bit shit, isn't it, really?
You obviously do it, though.
Yeah, I do, yeah. But nobody ever looks like they look on the pictures.
Yeah, it's like it's a photo from 20 years ago.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
I'm going to show you my pictures.
I will give you an honest opinion.
Please do.
That is not the same person.
Well, I'm wearing clothes in this one. Politics.
Funnily enough, I did a politics degree.
But there you go.
I couldn't tell you the first thing about politics either. I actually spent my student loan on a gym and never went in.
To the gym?
No, either. We just drank at the gym, didn't we?
Minimum wage.
I don't know.
Have you ever earned minimum wage?
I've earned less than minimum wage.
I've earned less, a lot less. I was tequila boy once. I worked in a Mexican restaurant. I was a tequila boy.
Tequila boy.
Yes, so I worked in a Mexican restaurant. It's when I was 18, and it was really popular with hen parties. Not that many stag parties, I'll be honest. And they come along, and then I used to have to walk along with a gun holster with tequila shots for
just
bullets.
In pants.
In a pair of chaps.
How much did you get paid for that?
£20 a night. That was, for me, I was like, yes. As an 18-year-old, I was like, this is the best job. I don't want to even get any other job.
How many hours?
I don't know, like six till two, something like that. So decent.
Jesus.
£20 for that.
Right, I've only got a couple more and then we've got to wrap up because we're really behind.
Yeah.
Holidays with family.
I haven't been on holiday with family in ages.
Have you ever been on holiday with family?
Yeah, we've been on holidays. Yeah,
is it good?
You just fucking kick the shit out of each other, don't you? And everyone comes back, not friends, and no one speaks for 2 weeks.
Maybe in Manchester. But yes, you're right.
Yeah.
And seeing family at Christmas. Do you do that?
Yeah, it's a biggie. I'm not really big on Christmas. It's fun when you're little, isn't it?
I hate Christmas.
You don't have kids. There's not really much to celebrate.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I mean, what?
Sorry, mum, sister. We had a great time.
Spend a lot of money and decorate a tree. Yeah. It's not a...
Yeah. Anyway, come on, this is not that quick fire, is it? Come on, chop.
No, I know, I'm just like interested in people.
You got one more question.
Okay,
one more question only.
Okay, for you, because you use it a lot. Mm-hmm. Data on sites like Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and things
should they
like
be,
that.
Should they be getting
should
it?
Should they be getting it for free when we can go on there for free?
It's difficult, isn't it? I mean, I'd say no. I mean, we don't use it that much anyway.
Yeah, neither do we.
We don't use it that much anyway. I don't believe in it. I think it actually hampers creativity when you're relying on data.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, because you disagree entirely.
Yeah.
I totally disagree. Yeah. I'm like, take all the data you want.
Yeah.
I'm
what do you want?
Fun.
Take it.
Like, you know, if you want to sell me shit, if I'm looking for a new Mercedes and you want to sell me a new Mercedes, then put that shit in my Instagram. If I don't want to look
sell
at
me,
it, I'm going to scroll past.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Honestly, advertising people, you've got it all wrong.
Anyway, on that note, on that bombshell, thanks for coming in, mate. It's been an absolute blast. We're gonna hit the pub after this.
No worries, whatsoever, mate. Yeah. More drinks.
We are. Yes. Yeah, we're gonna go to the pub.
Maybe we shouldn't.
Anyway,
drink
so
that,
where
then.
Can people buy your book?
You can get it on Amazon. There's a new one coming out soon.
So what's this one called?
That's called Content, Motherfucker.
And what's
that'll
the
be
one
written in 10 hours.
What's the old one called? What was the old one called again?
Fucking good content.
Yeah.
Is it?
It's a bit of a theme.
Yeah.
No, it's not fucking good content.
Okay, so
it's
the first book is what's it called?
Fucking good content.
Yeah, and you can get that on Amazon.
Get that on Amazon.
And what's the one that's on its way? What's that one called?
Content, motherfucker.
Don't
is
be
the comma
a motherfucker.
Written out, or is it actually just a comma?
Yeah, comma's written out. Yeah, content,
Yeah, that's the only way.
If they Google that shit, then they're gonna get it.
Yeah. And yeah, thanks for coming on, mate. It's been a blast.
Oh, it's been a laugh.
Dan Kelsall, thank you very much, mate.
Always, guys. Cheers.
We've got the next song.
Oh,
is,
no, it's the last one.
It is.
Yeah. I hate this song. This is Paul's song, not my song. Just saying it.
Yeah. In the Navy, Village People.
Right.
Navy, by the village people. You know what? That is for my best friend, my business partner, the sexiest man in London, James Smith. Anyway, enough of him. I've fucking known him forever. Our next guest is actually dialing in from New York City. She is an absolute fucking badass, a legend. I absolutely love her. I've known her for a couple of years. She actually came on one of my previous events, Take Fucking Risks, I don't know, about 18 months ago. And she completely owned the stage. I'm a huge, huge fan. She runs the website ifweranteworld.com, which is a website about equality within the workplace and actually empowerment and equality of women. And it actually, everything would be a lot fucking better if women ran the world.
Yes.
And she, yes. And she also owner, fucking the brilliant mind behind Make Love Not Porn. I think it's .tv. Welcome to the show, Cindy Gallup.
Woo!
Thank you, Paul. Delighted to be here.
Yes. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good, good. So how is New York today? This morning, I suppose.
Well, I'm looking out at New York from my apartment windows because the Make Love Not Porn team are now working from home, as a lot of people in New York are, because yes. of the coronavirus scenario. So, you know, New York is really kind of keeping things monitored and taking all the obvious precautions. And other than that, doing well.
Yes. You are described as, or self-described, as the Michael Bay of business. How did that come about?
This is many years ago. I was in a meeting with a potential consultancy client talking about what I do and explaining, you know, as I generally tend to potential clients, you know, I consult very selectively, only for clients and brands who want to change the game in their particular sector. You come to me for radical, innovative, groundbreaking, transformative. I don't do status quo.
Yes.
And so in this meeting, completely off the cuff, I went, you know, so I like to blow shit up. I'm the Michael Bay. And everybody laughed. And I came out of the meeting, I thought, actually, that's a really good way of summing up what I do.
Yep.
And so I've been using that ever since. And also as my Twitter bio, my LinkedIn bio, and so on. And I use it very deliberately. I'm not doing that as a bit of creativity or a bit of fun or a bit of whimsy. I do that because I'm a great believer in be your own filter. And when I characterize what I do in that way, it attracts to me the people who want what I do. It repels the ones who don't. And I sure as hell want to repel the ones who don't because they're a waste of time, effort, and money. And so I actually recommend to people and businesses, do the same thing. Find a way to talk about what you do very succinctly and very concisely that projects what you're all about out into the world and therefore attracts those people who are drawn to that and keeps away the ones who aren't.
Yeah, I love it. I loved it when I first saw it. I mean, I think I was first introduced to you by... shit, like George Parker. I mean, what's that? Sort of
wow.
5, 6, 7 years ago. I mean, that's a
right.
I know that's a real advertising
yep.
quote. But yeah, I mean, he introduced me to you, and I was sort of immediately hooked. You're the no bullshit. This is how it is. This is what you're going to get from me. If you like it, great. If you don't, that's not a problem. You know, but you almost sort of self-select, and that's exactly my ethos. That's exactly what we want from the show. It's you get so much more out of life if that's how you sort of view any interactions that you have with people.
And it's also, to be honest, the way I would like to see many more agencies self-selecting their clients.
Yes, 100%. 100%. And I know that's because that's what we do. But yeah.
Excellent.
Okay, so what is it about making a... I don't want to do the quote. When you talk about how much money you should make... What's your feelings on that? A lot. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, so this is basically something I say to female audiences a lot. I basically say, women, I want you to unashamedly set out to make an absolute goddamn fucking shit ton of money.
Yes, indeed.
And I explain that I articulate it very deliberately in that way because that is how much money I want women to make because yes. we're not doing that currently. And the reason for that, there are a number of reasons for it. So, you know, if a woman is in a job currently, I explain that, you know, this is what you have to go into every pay review asking for. And by the way, the amount you ask for is the highest amount you can say out loud without actually bursting out laughing.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is not only to benefit yourself, but because you must do that for the rest of us. Because otherwise, when the people who head up your company look down that giant Excel spreadsheet of all the salaries in the company, and when they see, as they will, that all the women are paid less than the men, that translates in their minds into that's because women are less good than men. People value you at the value you are seen to put on yourself.
Yes.
So do it for that, but also do it because when we all make an absolute goddamn fucking shit ton of money, we can then use that money to fund other women, to support other women,
yes.
to donate to other women, to help other women. We need to build our own financial ecosystem because, quite frankly, the white male one isn't working for us.
Hell
and
yeah.
So that's why I especially support women to do that.
Love it. I absolutely love it. And the problem for me is that you're one of the few lone voices that is given the airtime. There's a lot of talented women out there that are saying these types of messages, and there are a lot of talented women in the workplace. But it's almost you're one of the few that is given that moment to say it how it is, and I think that's an absolute shame. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, actually, Paul, this is something that again I exhort other women to do, and I would direct your listeners to YouTube. Search my name on YouTube, search Neuehouse, N-U-E-H-O-U-S-E, which is the co-working space our Make Love Porn office is based
yes.
in, and search for the presentation I gave for them called Building Your Personal Brand. Because one of the things I talk about in there is that part of building your personal brand is putting your voice and your opinions out there. I recommend doing that on social media, and I recommend doing that in a way that is completely separate to what you consider your professional persona. Because one of the dynamics stifling other women's voices is their fear, and by the way, this fear is unfortunately a realistic one, that you know their bosses and their leadership will come down on them for articulating their own opinions. And also their fear that, you know, they don't think that they have anything worthwhile to say. They could not be more wrong. The white men of our industry are out there talking loudly on social media every single bloody day. And so what I say to women is absolutely go on social media, you know, create your own social media handles that are nothing to do with your workplace. Today, it's completely inappropriate for anybody to try and professionally stifle you because, you know, those sort of parameters no longer exist. And actually, if anything, especially in our industry, people should be thrilled that their employees are expressing interesting opinions and creating personal brands that will only, quite frankly, enhance the professional brand. So absolutely, get on social media and put what you believe in out there. Absolutely, you know, use your voice because you will draw other people to you who absolutely want to hear and empathize with the things you say. And that's how you build a following. And then also within this presentation, I talk about how you then translate that into being interviewed for media pieces and writing op-eds and, you know, getting your opinions out there in a more formalized way.
Hi, Cindy. It's Sam here. I'm listening to you because I run an organisation that supports parity in the travel industry. Fully respect what you're saying there. Do you think? Because I really feel that there's a big change going on, and actually our voices are really, really getting heard. And there's a big message that we need to teach is confidence and actually stand up there and really get like be be yourself and get on stage and sit at the table and be who you are, because the more we can promote confidence in women to stand up to the table, the better it is. But do you think that there's a bit of a change going on, especially over the last year, 2 years?
Oh, no, absolutely. But I'd like to just bring a bit of a different lens to that, Sam, because I think it's very important that women and men alike understand the key point that my friend Tomas Chamorro Pramuzik makes. And he made this key point, 7 years ago, in 2013, in a Harvard Business Review article that he wrote, which was called "Why Do So Many Incompetent Men Become Leaders?" it is the single most read Harvard Business Review article of all time. And in it, Tomas says, you know, we focus a lot on all the barriers that are put in the way of brilliant women, but actually the real problem is the lack of obstacles for incompetent men.
Yes.
And that is truth. And by the way, that article was so popular, Tomas turned it into a book, which you can buy on Amazon, which is called Why Do So Many Incompetent Men Become Leaders as well.
Such a great
And
title.
When you buy that book, you will see my blurb that says this is the single most important business book of our time, and it is. So I recommend to all your listeners that they read it. But the reason I'm bringing this up in the light of your question is because, you know, it's not so much, to be frank, that we should tell women to be more confident. We should be telling men to be a damn sight less confident.
Yes, we should.
I want a message out there to women that if you can be whoever you are and you can be whatever it's comfortable to be, it's not about you need to emulate men in the way that they always put themselves forward and get out on stage. Yes, I absolutely want to see you do that. But do it in your own way. And quite frankly, at the same time, men rein it bloody in. Yeah.
We do have a tendency.
Shut up, Paul.
Again, you know, something else we hear a lot is, women need to change the way they speak to advance. Yeah. You know, women, stop saying sorry. Yeah. You know, stop saying just. Quite
so
frankly,
with you.
The world will be massively improved if we let women speak exactly the way they want to, and men started saying sorry a damn sight more.
Yes.
I'd like to hear men being far more apologetic. I'd like to hear men going, sorry, I just wanted to make that would improve things a great deal more, and that would enable women to accelerate into leadership, being the way they are, which is actually the way all leaders should be, which is, you know, patient, empathetic, listening more than they speak.
Yes.
You know, not putting themselves forward when they don't have the skills to back it up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
We actually, sadly, have run out of time. Absolutely gutted, because I could speak to you for ages.
For hours.
And
we're
going
to have to get... So Fubar need to give us another show.
Yeah.
We can get you on again.
It's been fun.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Cindy. I've not spoken to you for a long time, and it's been too long. It's been great to speak to you.
And thanks.
And to you guys.
Yeah.
It's really perked up my Tuesday here in New York. So lovely to talk to you, and thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you very much, Cindy.
Okay.
That's been brilliant. Cheers.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. So we have had, so let's just have a quick wrap up of who we've had. We've had, well, me.
Me.
You.
More importantly.
We've had
Natalie.
Musafia.
Musafia.
I'm struggling with her name. We've had Mark Denton. We've had Dan Kelsall. And we've had Cindy Gallup. An absolute pleasure. Really enjoyed it. Everyone should email into Fubar and say, give Sam and Paul a regular show.
Yeah. We've loved it. Thank you, Fubar Radio, so much.
What we got next? We've got a bit of Prodigy Firestarter. Let's finish with that.
Yeah!